and the ark today, and I find the word ark used only three different times in the scripture. The dictionary says ark means a small vessel, a close vessel, chest or coffer, such as that was the repository of the tables of the covenant among the Jews. This one was about 3 feet 9 inches long, and it had a mercy seat above the lid, and the cherubims were up there. And the second one is a vessel in which Moses was set afloat on the Nile, and that ark was made of the bulrushes or the reeds that were there. The third one is a large floating vessel, which Noah and his family were preserved. And this is the ark that I'm going to share a little bit about. Lamech was Noah's dad, and he named him Noah because Noah means one who brings comfort or relief. And certainly Noah did. In chapter 6 of Genesis, it tells us that the known world began to populate and become more and more corrupt. And as I read this, I think about the way we are today, this world today, especially here in the United States. I don't know about the rest of it, but I don't get news from around anywhere else except the United States, and it seems like it's pretty bad. Verse 5 says, "And God saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually." They were sinning continually. It was seemed like the way he puts it, there's no relief in it, and that's the way we are in the world today, in the United States anyway, that there's no relief from the wickedness and the sin that we see around us. "And he repented the Lord," and that means that he was sorry, "that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him in his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created on the face of the earth, both man and beast and the creeping thing and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me," or he was sorry that he made them. Verse 8 says, "But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord." Verse 9 through 13, "And these were the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect before God. And Noah had three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted its way upon the earth. And God said to Noah, the end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth. And now God tells Noah just exactly how to do this ark. Verses 14 through 17. He says, "Make thee an ark of gopher wood. Room shalt thou make in the ark, and shall pitch it within and without. And all this, and this fashion, which, this is the fashion which thou shalt make it. The length of the ark shall be 300 cubits, the breadth 50 cubits, and the height 30 cubits." That's about 450 feet long, 75 feet wide, 45 feet high. "Window thou shalt make in the ark, and in it a cubit shalt thou finish above it." And I looked at that, and I'm thinking that that was an 18-inch overhang above the top floor, the third floor of the ark. Somewhere I've seen that was there, so that must be what that's talking about. "And the door of the ark shall be set in the side thereof. With lower, second, and third stories thou shalt make it. And behold, I, even I, do bring a flood of waters upon the earth to destroy all flesh within it, wherein is the breath of life from under heaven. For everything that is within the earth shall die." Verses 18 to 22 says, "But with thee I will establish my covenant, and thou shalt come back into the ark, thou and thy sons, thy wife, and thy sons' wives with thee, and everything living thing that Every living thing of all flesh, two of every sort, shalt thou bring into the ark, to keep them alive with thee. And there shall be male and female, of the fowls of their kind, of the cattle of their kind, of every creeping thing of the earth after his kind. Two of everything shall come to thee, to keep them alive, to make and take them food that is to be eaten. Thou shalt gather to it, shall gather it to thee, and shall be for food for thee, for them, and for them. Thus Noah did according to everything God commanded him. So he did. I'm thinking about this was kind of a joke. Somebody said that Noah was a fisherman, but he only had two angleworms, so he didn't get much fishing time. Genesis 7:1 says, "And the Lord said to Noah, Come thou and all thy house into the ark, for thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation." From verse 2 through verse 15, it tells us about the clean animals, the unclean animals, the creeping things, the birds that were loaded into the ark. As the animal, or as the waters began to rise, Noah and all his family went into the ark. Verse 16 says, "And they went in male and female of all flesh, as God commanded him." And the next line says, "And God shut the door." I'm thinking that when God shuts the door, that God shuts the door. You know, I can almost hear as the water started to rise up, the people beating on that door and pleading with Noah to open it up and let them in. The water's getting up and over their heads, and they want to get in. But God shut the door, and Noah couldn't open it. Verse 17 through 23 tells us how the waters continued to rise, even over the mountaintops, and how that everything left on the face of the earth died. Verse 24 tells us that the waters prevailed on the earth for 150 days. Now, it did rain for 40 days and 40 nights, and the waters were pretty high. Somewhere I read that it was over 250 feet above the highest mountain. So, that's a lot of water. I don't think we can get that much here. Maybe. Chapter 8 tells us how the ark floated around. We don't read anything about 671 diesels in that ark for propulsion or a steering wheel or a rudder or a sail or anything to move it. God directed the ark as he would. And the waters receded, and the ark came to rest on the mountains of Ararat, and how Noah sent a dove out several times to find dry land, and how God told Noah to leave the ark with his family and all the living things that was with him on the ark to go forth and to multiply the earth. We think about the message of this story. You know, it's a simple story, but yet it's one that did happen, and that God did it because of sin. And I wonder about what he's going to do next because of the sin and the corruptness of the way we are as people. We need to turn from our wicked ways and seek God. Now, I think there's a lot of so-called Noahs today preaching the gospel, telling people to repent, to change their ways. To repent means just turn around, in this case, and go the other direction. And we need to do that. I think the ark was a type of Christ because in the ark was salvation. And it was for Noah and the two of each kind of critters. So we need to think of how Christ is our ark, and that he died for us and shed his blood on the cross, that through him we might know salvation. And We can, you know, we can do that very simply just by inviting Christ to come into our lives and saying, you know, saying to him that we know we're sinners and lost without him, and come and help me. I remember when I gave my life to the Lord, it was no big deal. It just happened. My wife had been a Christian for about 3 months, and she kept after me, and, you know, kept telling me, "Oh, you're so rotten, you're going to hell anyway." And, you know, she was right. You know, without Christ, that's where you're going. And she would read the Bible to me every night, you know, and I thought it was nice. I didn't know what she was reading about, you know, didn't understand it, didn't really care, but I let her read it because she wanted to. And it was nice. It turns out it was good. And leading up to how I got saved was, there's a long story, and I won't burden you by that. But she went over to our neighbor's place, who was right next door. And they're the ones that got Sue saved through the Word of God. And they knew that Jesus Christ is the answer and told Sue all about it, and she got saved. Well, she was saved about 3 months and before I. And she kept harping on me to get saved. Well, this one particular morning after, I don't know what the circumstances were, but anyway, she went over to the neighbors and told Chuck that I think Roy would like to talk to you. And I really hadn't said anything. I didn't know I wanted to talk to Chuck, but that was all right. Anyway, I was out in the garden weeding and down on my hands and knees there pulling weeds, and like you guys were yesterday, I guess. And all of a sudden, here's these big shoes right beside me. And I thought, sure enough, the Lord had come to smack me. And so I looked up, and there's Chuck. He says, "You want to talk to me about spiritual things?" And I said, "Well, yeah." So we got in the house, and I'm all muddy. I got mud on my knees and on my hands. Probably had some of my teeth, I don't know. And so he read some scriptures to me about how Christ died on the cross for us, and that we need to turn our life over to him and ask him to come in and save us. Save us from our sin. That's what we're saved from. And I said, yeah, I'd like to do that. So I did that, and my life turned around from that moment on. I wasn't the guy that would tell the dirty stories at work. God cleaned up my mouth immediately. Just done a great thing for me. In fact, at work, some of the guys would say, "What happened to Journey? What happened to Journey?" One guy was a Christian. He says, "Well," he says, "he probably got saved." And he was right. He did get saved. And salvation is free. It's for everyone. And it comes with a price, the shed blood of Christ, Jesus Christ. And Jesus took the place of the sacrifices that they used to make with animals. Had to be a spotless animal. Well, Jesus was a spotless lamb, the Savior, the one who died for you and I, who shed his blood on that cross for every one of us. And you can do that today. And if you haven't done it, I invite you to do it. You can do it right there in your chair. You can come up and talk with us afterwards. We'd be glad to do that.